Welcome to fucking Candyland, hosted by Rampage and Gemini.
We are so excited that you're listening to us. If you want to elevate the experience and see these interviews on video, you can join either one of our Patreons. They are linked in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast episode, in addition to getting to watch the full-length video interviews. We also both have tons of additional content and support for the spiritual community. So go ahead and check those out. And then if you're ever interested in readings with us or personally connecting with us, we also have our websites and social medias linked in the description as well. Feel free to share this episode with everybody that you know. Get the Lick It Like a Lollipop name spread around, and we hope you love this episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Candyland.
So we only have like one more episode, maybe two after this for this season. So that's a little milestone. We have the anniversary of the podcast coming up. So this is like a really big moment for our little brand. And while I was gone on my trip, I gave away a lot of cards. I still haven't gotten to the level of unbothered of just like leaving them everywhere. Something about people throwing them away like hurts my soul. So I haven't, like, I don't just go spam everywhere, but like anytime anyone talks to me at all, I make sure to like give them a card and tell them I have stickers.
What do you say? They're like, I love your outfit. And you're like, oh my God, thanks so much. You want a sticker and a podcast card?
Thanks. Yeah.
I love that so much.
If someone speaks to me, I feel comfortable enough to like give them cards and stuff. But I have left the podcast card at like concert venues and things like that. But just as far as like going around and putting them on random things, like, I haven't reached that level of unbothered yet, but maybe I will.
I guess it depends on like where the place is too, that like you would be leaving the cards at. Because the only place that I've just like randomly left cards, I feel like, is at a concert that I went to, and I just randomly like left them on people's tables when they are up, you know, on the floor or like in the bathroom in the stalls. Cause you're sitting there, like you're either throwing up, so you see my card on the back of the seat, or you are sitting there peeing and you're drunk and you're looking around, and that's when you get the spinnies. And then if you see something beautifully colored and you're like, oh my God, a lollipop, you know?
Yes. I love the cards. I love the stickers. I've been giving away a lot of stickers. I went to a concert last week, and the dive bar that it was at, basically like their whole decor was just stickers, like on everything, like the bars, the walls, the doors, the mirrors in the bathroom, like everything was covered in stickers. So I put stickers like in the middle of the mirrors where there already was stickers. You couldn't see yourself, like just little peeking through of the mirror, but I stuck them everywhere. I probably stuck like 20 stickers there and gave a bunch away, and it was good. I don't know. People are very receptive to the card if you give them a sticker, because my stickers that I've ordered are dope as fuck. And the ones I have with the checkerboard and the holographic glitter, like, it's going in.
Oh, I love that.
I went to Vegas and went to this place we went last year when I was there, and our sticker that I stuck on the dumpster was still there. Someone had spray painted onto the dumpster, so it had a little spray paint on it, but it was still intact out there in the weather.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I've been sticking them everywhere. Honestly, like, I love stickers. I got a little addiction.
There were people who were getting so mad because people were making these like little Biden faces, and it would have him pointing and it would say like, did I do that or something? And people were sticking it on gas pumps and pointing at like the prices, to where like, I don't know if it was everywhere, but I know that here in Idaho it was happening, and it ended up being on the news, and they were like, please stop doing this. Like, it vandalizes like the gas station. Some of them are like small business owner, whatever. I'm like, the gas company can pay to fucking scrape off Biden's face off of the gas pump. But like, that's how I like, there are certain places that I think that you should put your sticker fucking trash can in Vegas, make it happen on your bumper. But on like public property, I feel like that's where like that goes too far. If I see somebody's like branded sticker on something like a gas pump, I'm gonna be like, well, I'm not like reaching out if you're like defacing public property.
Yeah, I don't stick it on places that I'm not supposed to, but if there's other stickers present, I'm sticking it. If there's more than three other stickers, I'm sticking it, because I feel like it's okay now. But no, I'm not going to be the only sticker. Like, I've been to dive bars that have let you stick before, but like there wasn't anything in the middle of the mirror, just around the edges. So I would never do that. But this mirror, it was covered. So I decided, why not? And I stuck a bunch of them by the door handles and just really everywhere. But I don't know. I love unique memorabilia, and stickers are just A1.
I don't know, dude. So on a completely like different subject twist, aside from the stickers, I'm on day one of a 5-day detox. And when I tell you, I'm so grumpy right now. I'm so tired. Like, so my boss is a nutritionist, and I've been like, I don't know, just feeling like I need to like jumpstart my body. And I really like want to be, I already eat pretty healthy, but I want to start going to the gym and just like doing different things that I haven't been doing. And even though I feel super determined to make that happen, I just feel like, I don't know, like I'm physically just like not feeling 100% until like I make excuses to not do it, because just my body feels uncomfortable. And so we're doing this detox to like jumpstart it. And I feel like I want fucking tacos so bad. And at the thought of somebody talking about food around me, it makes me like violently angry. Like, are that's you where talking? I'm at. So it's a fasting mimic diet. So it basically, you're still, you're eating food and supplements that have been pre-proportioned for you and given to you. So like today, I had an herbal tea and this like nut butter bar for breakfast, which, I was so frustrated by the nut butter bar because it tasted good the first bite, and then it was super sweet, and I had to eat two of them today. And then my lunch was this like minestrone. It didn't have noodles or anything, but it was like a soup, and green olives with salt on them. And I don't like green olives, but I'm so fucking hungry today that I made those green olives my bitch. And then for dinner, I got some tomato soup and a couple of these like little kale almond crackers. It's good. It's just not enough food. It's only 800 calories for 5 days.
Wow. That's hitting. Yeah.
I got Chinese food on my way home.
Here, I did good. I didn't get no rice or nothing. I didn't get nothing fried. But I am going to start really hitting the gym hard. Like, I don't know why, but like when it's warmer and I can wear shorts to the gym, I do get more motivated, because it's like, I'm ready to go to the gym. It feels good outside, you know? So I'm excited. But I feel like my birthday resolution this year is to like just be extra consistent with everything I'm doing. Cause like I go through periods where I'm like really consistent, like balls of the wall with meditation, or balls of the wall with the gym, or balls of the wall with whatever the fuck. And then out of nowhere, like left field, I just won't go anymore, or won't do it, or won't journal. Like that's been where I'm at. Like I have been on a no journaling thing for like a few months, and I don't know where it happened. Like, I was so rigorous about my journaling and like making sure that I wrote something down, even if it was little, like every day. And now I haven't wrote shit. I haven't wrote nothing down, like hardly this year at all. I don't know why. It's just like, I'm either like all or absolutely nothing. And I've got to be more consistent with those in between periods that like, you're not motivated, but you do it anyways, or you don't want to do it, but you're doing it, you know? Cause that's what I think a lot of, like when you feel accomplished and proud of yourself and you really feel pride and like, wow, I put my energy and time towards this and I've manifested this outcome or this result because of it. And, you know, like 2 years ago, I was really doing that with the gym and I felt really, really good about myself, like really just motivated. So I don't know. I'm trying to get back into that. Cause it's wild how quickly a whole year flies by, you know, like when you look back on it, cause it's like hindsight, you know, it's 2020 and you look back and you're like, wow, like this is what happened this year, you know? And I feel like 31 was great to me, huh, baby. But I feel like 32, like it's like, I've learned a lot and we went through a lot together already. And honestly, I think just because of that, this last year has been so drama free. For a while, there was so much drama in my life, but this last year has been so drama-free.
It's been so drama-free. And also, like, for me, I feel like there's so much resolution that's coming at the end. Now that you're talking about it on, like, the number scale for you, I feel like there's so much shit that is finding a healing and closing itself out in my 20s. Like, as I am about to go into like my 30th too, like situations that have been like 10 years plus, like now starting to have resolution for things and there's peace to things. And I think that that's something that probably came up when you did my birth chart reading, because there was a lot about like Saturn return and things coming to conclusions and it being a big month. And then it's so cute. Oh my gosh. So one of the girls in my community space, shout out to Savannah. She's going to take that astrology class with me that you recommended, but she's already super into it, like into astrology. And she asked if she could do something on my chart and she took a look at it and was like, it was so cool how she was like breaking it down. And she's like, these are all the things that like I've been researching. And this is like what makes sense to me. And it was things that perfectly correlated with your readings that I feel like were very specific messages that you had said that I needed to hear again. And I need it. And it was, I don't know, it was like your exact words, but somebody else speaking them about what my chart was saying. And then as I'm looking and things are unfolding, I'm like, this is literally what you said to me like a year ago. But there's no way when you're like inside of that moment that you know how that message is affecting your future. And so it's always so fucking trippy when all of a sudden spirit brings that message forward again. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like a different source, but same message.
And this literally goes with my fortune that I got, because it says, by listening, one will learn truth. By hearing, one will only learn half truth. And like listening and hearing are two different things. Sometimes we're only hearing people. We're not really listening, you know? And sometimes we're so wrapped up in our own world, or when we're in the struggle or when something's happening, that's why like readings and spiritual advice doesn't always make sense when you're getting it. Doesn't mean that you're getting scammed. It doesn't mean that you're getting, you know, like half of what you are asking for or paid for. Because at the end of the day, like a message is just not going to resonate until it's time for it to really resonate for you. And sometimes a message has to be repeated, just like a lesson with a person or a situation may play out several times in your life. You know, if you have an abandonment issue in your family pattern or wound, you will experience that in relationships, and you may experience that later in life with your children and literally beyond, because those cycles perpetuate. And so, you know, what was relevant to you at that time, you absorbed. And then what was relevant at this time, you know, you've reintegrated, and it's like, it makes more sense. Cause it's like, wow, like I am on the other side of this, but I'm not all the way where I want to be. Astrology is really interesting because the way that the transits play out over time is like that constant evolution of the human journey. Because, you know, a couple people I know are currently going through like a Pluto conjunction, either to their sun or their Venus or their Saturn. And that's like a really heavy transit to have Pluto on top of anything on any planet, especially when it comes to like your Saturn or your sun, you know what I mean? Because there's just a lot of integration that has to happen.
When you literally talk astrology and you ever tell me, you know what I mean? No, bitch, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about, which is why I'm going to be taking a class, because I'm like, Pluto's still a planet. Like,
you know, I think at the end of the day, you're really going to probably get a lot more out of the class than I did. Because you're just like a person who just constantly wants to consume something. And this man fucking puts the shit out there. Like, he has a homework folder and a bonus content folder. And every freaking week, there is homework and bonus content. And of course, it's optional. It's not like crazy. And the first couple weeks I was doing the homework like really rigorously and was like really staying consistent, and then every week it just was like more and more and more, and I saw like where the fun was being sucked out of something I wanted to learn. Like, it was feeling way too serious. And so then he made the statement like, you know, homework's optional, this class is like how much you want to get out of it. And that's the moment I decided around week four, fuck this homework. This is stressing me out. And I never opened that folder again. And I gave it no fucks. Because he not only does all that, then he'll have like guest speakers and TED Talks come in and shit. Like, it's a lot of content. And on top of that, you're having like a 3-hour class every week that I wanted to attend live because it was on Saturdays at noon. And that was just a good time for me to come live. And I did every class live between like the two semesters, besides maybe like a handful. And then he would also do study sessions with like a TA, and like then you got also study sessions. Then these people formed, it was called like Webull or some like kind of timeline platform. It's basically like a Facebook timeline for a group of people. So then they had private messages going, they had a timeline going, they had a questionnaire thing. It was like just too fucking much. You will probably get in there and be like kid in a candy factory. Me, I was like, this is doing way too much. I am not going to be an astrology professor. Like, that's why when you're always like, teach this, I just don't think that anyone should have to teach astrology. And like, to really teach it, it's not just like a workshop or a 6-week, 12-week thing. Like, it's a fucking, you know what I mean? Like a process, a layered process. And there's so much to it. And it's just weird how like so many people in the beginning and it dwindles down, you know, like it starts out as like 300 people in the class and then 200 is live and then 80 and then 60, you know, like it just dwindles because like it is a lot and it can be so overwhelming the way that he has it kind of like just constant. It's constant.
It is. And my thing, so I've wanted to take an astrology class for a really long time. And in fact, I'm pretty sure you've given me the link like 4 times over the last 2 years when I've asked you for it, because I knew that it was going to be a long commitment. I knew it was going to be a year. I did not know that it was going to be two-hour minimum weekly class. And my thing with that, though, is that I do really want to learn this topic, and I feel like I can commit to doing that, whether I'm watching something or whatever.
I got a comment for you. My piece of advice is don't let more than 2 weeks go by and you be behind, because you will get so behind and you will be so overwhelmed that you will be that person who's just like, fuck it, when it's over, I'll watch it then.
And I literally had that conversation the other day with somebody where I was like, I have to watch it within the week because I know that I'll get overwhelmed and hella stressed about it and then be like, fuck it, I'll never watch it then. Keep my money.
But if you don't sit down and actually watch it, like, you can't just be watching it and multitask and do something else. You know what I mean? Like, the way that it's so much information every class It's wild. And that's why, like I said, like what he teaches in 3 hours every time is a really big portion of it. Like the way he teaches it, it's so pieced off that like it really makes sense if you dedicate yourself to it. And that's the one thing I did. I stopped doing the homework, but I did go live every class and I was always current. I did not do all the chats and all the fucking extra things. I just was like, because you could tell there was a lot of like really rich people who are just retired and they're just bored and they're like, I just want to learn something. Or people who have like a doctorate in like physics and shit and like literally had just books and like big libraries, like, you know, you could see in their picture and their thing. And so, you know, there was definitely like a lot of people. And so there was this woman that was in my class and her name was Lakshmi. And at the time, that was the first time I'd heard that. But now I know it's a goddess. Lakshmi is a goddess of luck and like fertility and among other things. But during the class, Lakshmi, the teacher and the TA were like the main MFs. Like not only did she talk and have a question for literally everything he ever said. Anytime he allowed people to get on the mic, Lakshmi would get on the mic. So it became like this thing where like, I just couldn't wait because she was an Indian woman and she just talked like very, like this lady's loaded, rich, just rich in knowledge, just so like, just submerged herself like she was getting a doctorate in astrology. And it was just so wild. Like there's just so many different animals and birds you're going to meet in there, you know, like just people from all over the spectrum, like me, like who was just like dabbling in learning and like wanted to like be able to do readings, but didn't want to like open up a astrology center, you know. It's just wild. He's really cool though. Since I took the class with him, he's went through an identity change in crisis. Oh. Yeah. He used to go by, I can't even pronounce it, but he used to have this name that he went by. I cannot think of it, but his real name's Adam. And like, he changed it to like, it was like Melchikaha Japaha. It was like some Indian like name he got at a ceremony of doing ayahuasca. He has a couple books about doing ayahuasca and like his journey of ayahuasca. He's a really spiritual person. Like his wife is a herbalist. I guess they're still married. I assume they are. They have a bunch of little kids, but he evolved really quickly. Like he went from just like barely getting by doing these classes to making like six figures plus and having all these employees and stuff.
Well, the thing about it is, and I know this because I was spending so much time researching, finding astrology classes, and I was reading reviews on things and I was seeing people's class set up. And the way that this class is set up is so much for the amount of money that you're spending. Like it's absolutely fucking crazy the amount of information that you get for the price. Not only that, but at the bottom of his page, it has a financial assistance option. And if you click on it, it basically is like, what's the amount that you could pay between $67 and $100 every single month for this class in a way that like, you won't struggle in order to pay this.
I know. I used it because back then, like, I didn't have the money to do it years ago.
Dude, I just thought that was so fucking cool.
Yeah, I think I don't remember what it was, like, that I paid. But I did use that financial aid thing. I just basically, like, wrote why I should receive it. Like, why I wanted to pay this much. And he just said, okay. It really grew while I was on it. Cause like first we started out, it was on Dropbox and he was uploading everything on Dropbox. Then he opened up and that's the first time I had learned about, I think it's Kajabi or no, I'm sorry. No, Kajabi I used on another class. Thinkific or some shit. So it was like another thing that he had that basically like allowed you to download it, but it didn't allow you, like you could just share the Dropbox link and password with like anyone, right? Like, but the files are so big, like you can't really necessarily email them to someone. Like you need a file transfer like Dropbox or Google Drive or something. So it's like he went from Dropbox to Thinkific because I think people were like basically like sharing the data, you know, with people who didn't pay and there was no way for him to really stop that. So I don't know, like I watched it evolve from like, it's big time. Like, I don't even know how he finds that many people, but he uploads a bunch of YouTube stuff. Like, he's big on YouTube, like, real big. But he definitely teaches you more than any average person who wants to learn astrology needs to know. Like, it's a fucking lot. And at that, like I said, the point was overwhelming me. I was like, you know what? Screw, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to turn this into a chore. Mm-mm. I'm not going to turn this into a chore.
Did you take all three?
I took two.
Yeah. So what, 2 years?
Yeah. I don't like the furthest one. I think it's called like hedonistic or something. It's called something. It's more of like predicting things. It's more of like asking a direct question and looking at the chart. It's more of like, hey, I lost my keys. Can you look at my birth chart and find them? And I just feel like it didn't appeal to me. It seemed like that's just not really like, I don't know. It just didn't appeal. Like, I like the other ones that I learned, Hellenistic and all that, because it was like, it's fact of the matter. Like, other people that read charts don't always use whole sign houses. And that's why I like him, because he taught in whole sign houses. And he gives you different perspectives of like other, you know, understandings of the concept. But he explains things, and he's kind of funny. He's kind of funny, and he's very, like, interesting to listen to. Like, he's really smart. Like, you can tell he, like, knows this stuff, like in his sleep. And that's why it's, like, so good. I can't imagine how fire the class is now, and I honestly wouldn't even mind to just, like, retake it sometime just to, like, reabsorb. Because, you know, we would talk about current events, and at that time, like, Donald Trump was really big, so we'd look at his chart a lot and, like, point out different things. Like, he'd have a temper tantrum on Twitter at the time, and we'd be like, where in his chart is given this transit? And, like, he'd pull it up and, like, you know, just talk about people that were, like, relevant as well, or people that
were... That's hilarious.
And, like, see if he could find in their chart where it would, like, show them passing from cancer, or, you know, like, fact of the matter is, like, they're already dead. He's not predicting them to die from cancer, right? Like, so he would kind of do things like that, even though he could probably have saw their chart and been like, yeah, they're likely to get, he would say things like, you know, likely to have an amputee, like, lose a limb in their lifetime type shit. Like, there's just different transits and different things in the chart that could, like, signal to, like, an abusive father or an abusive mother or rape, trigger warning, like, all kinds of stuff. And, like, some of the stuff is just a little dark and a lot in depth, and I just wanted to be able to, like, graze the chart with a little because some of it, not for me, but there's a lot.
See, I'm the opposite about that, where you're like, I just want to, like, graze on it and, like, dabble whatever. And I'm like, if I'm going to learn about it, I'm going to learn every single thing that there is to learn about it. And it's going to, like, be what I, because I need to have complete answers on things. And I hate only half knowing information. I wonder how that opinion will change and evolve, though, as I'm taking the classes and as I'm actually learning information. I wonder where my cap will be, that I'm like, you know what, it's been 2 years. Like, I'm not doing another one right now. Or if I do decide to keep going.
It's a lot. I mean, it's fun. I like his classes. I like the way he teaches, and he's consistent, and he's, like I said, fact of the matter. And that's the type of people I like doing business with. Like, you know, when you give him your money, like, you're about to get a fucking earful. And then, like I said, he has guest speakers that'll come in. Like, I mean, he constantly is just constant. And, you know, I'm surprised. I wonder if he has a Patreon. I would think he probably does by now, but he just has so much fucking content. It's just constant. Like, he could make a Patreon and post, like, a small segment from each class every week, and people would eat that up. You know, like, he just has so much information. But I have all of my classes, like, saved, and all the PowerPoints. I mean, there's a huge ass PowerPoint that goes along with everything. It's like 60, 75 pages. Like, yeah, girl, you don't play. So I can't wait to hear you reading four chapters of this week's homework. I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to know. The textbook that you get, it's like this thick. And I promise you, after I read like a couple chapters and they were long as fuck, and I was getting PTSD from college, I was like, yeah, no, not open this book.
Anymore. I haven't ordered a book yet.
The only astrology book you'll ever need. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what it's called, but.
And then he gave a bunch of astrology. Yeah. And then he gave like three or four different recommendations on apps to get.
Yeah, I probably have them.
They cost money, though. Those apps are not free.
Yeah, I have, I have some paid apps. Yeah, I mean, the program that you have to buy is a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah. So, it's an investment. That's why I waited to do it though, because I knew that it was going to be an investment and I wanted to be in a position to be able to afford doing that, you know?
I mean, I liked it. I definitely recommend it to everyone that asks, because I am like, this man is the mother lord of all astrology knowings. Like, he has all the teachings, secrets.
I'm gonna see about trading in my iPad to get. So I got my iPad thinking that the iPad was like the Apple computer. Like I didn't realize that it's basically just a big iPhone. That
Have like the compatible like keyboard and stuff.
so like not that, but like to be able to have programs and things that you can have on like an Apple computer is different than you having them on the tablet. And storage is different on a computer versus on a tablet. And so I got it to do like video editing and all these different things and to be able to use them to download apps or whatever, like bigger things. And that storage fucking sucks. And you have to whatever. So I think I'm gonna see about trading it in and getting an actual computer and then downloading those programs and whatever and just like having it be a tax write-off.
That's funny that you said that, because I was just thinking in my head that you really needed a computer to do this class on, but I wasn't going to say that because I didn't want to stress you out. But it's going to not be easy on a tablet, but I didn't want to say that. But you read my mind, because I literally was just thinking that you definitely need a computer. Definitely. And honestly, you can get them and like you can finance it for 0% for like 6 months and just pay it off before then through Apple, for one. And for two, I'm also about to get a new computer as well, and I'm getting the bigger memory, the 1 terabyte, because that's popping that they've now offering that. Because I've always had an external hard drive to like, put things on. But yeah, I'm about to do that as well. And I'm about to get a really dope new computer. I can't wait. So yeah, you definitely should. I would keep your tablet too. I mean, low key, high key, because they're not going to give you much for it. They were only going to give me 200 for my old computer, and I could sell it refurbished for like 800 to someone else if I wanted to. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah.
like, they're only going to give you like a very minimal amount, if they give you what, and they want to give it to you on an Apple gift card. It's ghetto. So, not 10 out of 10, don't
But
recommend
I want
it.
to buy it at Apple.
Yeah, but if it's only a third of what you could sell it for on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, why would you do that?
That's true.
I mean, just theoretically.
Yeah,
Plus,
you're
the
right.
tablet's good when you travel and it's like needed, like set up an external camera and not have it on your phone.
I fucking hate the camera on the iPad.
Just say you're doing the reading on the iPad and then you got it recording from the phone or something, you never know.
I do not like the camera on the iPad that I have. I have like a fucking something. It's
I mean,
some
they
kind of
have a really
something.
dope iPad camera with all three of them. That's fire.
No, I don't like the camera that I have, and it's one of the newer Air, I think it's called iPad Air.
Yeah, you need the Pro Max. The Pro Max camera, eating it up on the iPad.
Oh, I pulled a card. Tell me why it's card 32.
My birthday.
Card 32 for longevity. It's got a kitty, it's got money.
Libra, baby.
I'm loving it. All right, let me. Dun, dun, dun. Polly Pocket's birthday. The sign is Libra. The gift is soundness, and the shadow is tribalism. The level of the gift allows you to see beyond fear, beyond failure, and beyond the illusion of death. The exchange of money represents a flow of energy. When you are divinely linked to the source of your decisions, actions, i.e., your inner guidance system, You know just how much of your energy to give to whom and when. You do not spend or hoard out of fear or desperation. Instead, you see the full picture and make sound decisions based on your intuitive wisdom. Longevity is the guiding principle that serves you. Our collective fear of death, of becoming extinct, has both ensured our species' continuation over time and kept us stuck in the quicksand of survival mode, i.e. fight or flight, dog eat dog, tribalism, separation. Paradoxically, this instinctual setting on humanity drives us to cling desperately to our own tribe, group, nation, culture as a preservation strategy while simultaneously dehumanizing the other, tribe, country, race, etc. So fittingly, in the House of Mirrors, that is this physical reality, what appears to be a mechanism for oneness and expansion is merely just strife dressed up with new ribbons. As individuals, this fear of extinction may play out through the modality of money, as you become its willing victim and disregard your own inherent power in the process. Your themes are money, energy, bonds, and sound judgment.
You know, and something to add on that, I know you said before you wanted to start elaborating on the card sometimes, you know, people and what they spend their money on. There's definitely an energetic vibration in the products that you receive. And I wanted to mention something. So I've been seeing a lot of backlash about Etsy lately, about how Etsy has just turned into like a Temu or Wish resale center or Shein, or, you know, because things on those websites sell out. And like once they're gone and you can't hop back on Shein and find that item, then, you know, it seems rare or handmade or whatever, but people are like basically, you know, getting charms and beads and like there's different things off of these apps and listing it on Etsy, and people are paying like four times what it actually cost, which is basically how inflation works. If a provider or someone sees that you're willing to pay more for such product or whatever item, then the original seller jacks up their price. So that's how the cycle is continuing. So you know what I mean? Like they know we need certain things, but they're just talking about basically how Etsy has just like got no morale lately, where there's really not a lot of original creators. And I know a couple that I've bought from had shut down their site. When I went to like look for them again, it was like user does not exist. And that is weird because, you know, like I have a purchase history, like I know you existed. And so I've just noticed that a lot of users had been talking about that and how like Etsy is just basically like a person can purchase something and then file a claim with Etsy, and then Etsy just automatically sides with the customer. So then sometimes when tracking's delayed or the post office is delayed, you know how that works. It says it's lost or it's in transit for days and you have no updates. They're just basically siding with the buyer and just basically saying like, okay, here's your money back, and taking it from the seller. Then said item shows up later and the seller is out the item and had to give back the money. And I just thought that was so fucked up. Like, I know you know a lot of witchy shops. Are they having issues with Etsy? Do you know people who sell on Etsy?
I haven't known people that have had issues necessarily with Etsy, other than the fact that they charge an astronomical amount. Like they take a huge percentage. And the thing to me is price checking, whether you're the business and you're looking at if it's cheaper for you to do Etsy and pay out their percentages, or just pay for your own website and be able to offer more and do more and make it personalized in a way that Etsy doesn't have it. But also, people are complaining about people having Wish items or whatever. But if you are searching for something and comparing prices instead of just going towards the one thing, then you'll be able to notice that it's cheaper somewhere else. And usually if people are going to resale something, then they're going to hike the price up on that. And it is what it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Etsy has started to turn more into a scam, like just a resale platform, but they have always taken a lot of fees. And then people like eBay and Beyond, like they started taking a bunch of fees. Like I used to be eBay queen. Like I used to sell probably 20 things a month on eBay every month, whether it was just, you know, shoes and clothes that like I no longer had worn, or like just random things I thrifted. And I'm like, I know this is worth money. It didn't matter. Like I just sold whatever. And at first it was fun, but then it turned into like a whole debacle. And like the government used to not tax you up to $20,000 on random little incomes like that, right? Like, okay, you're making XYZ on eBay, but if you are a reseller and you're purchasing items to sell on there, like that's deductible because that's the item that you're selling. So they just started getting really weird with it. Like I should not have to pay taxes on clothes that I've already paid sales tax on, money that I bought that with that I already paid taxes on, and then I've worn them and now want to resell them. And you want, after I make over $600, like, and I don't fuck around if the item's less than like $50, because by the time you ship it, now you're down to 40. Pack it, your time, now you're down to 30. You paid 10 for the item, now you're down to 20. You know what I mean? Then PayPal takes a fee, then eBay takes a fee, and you got $8.97 out of $50 kind of thing. Like, you know, like, I don't know. It's just fucked up. But a lot of those sites are starting to get on my damn nerves. Like Poshmark, I used to get on there and browse. But now what's happening is these influencers or whoever, like, they just go buy up all of this popular product and then put it on Poshmark or put it somewhere and just sell it for more. And it's funny because I've bought things online that sold out later. And like, then I see it on Poshmark, like as a sponsored ad, because I've looked at the original. So like my phone's like, we know you like this. It's weird. It's real weird. Like a lot of the resale platforms fucking suck these days. And to have your own website is probably the best bet. But if you don't have clients, you don't have traffic to your website, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
How's your new website?
Popping.
You like
it? I love it. I think it's beautiful. I would never have gone to GoDaddy if I knew that this is how Shopify was. Like, shout out fucking Shopify. There is so much that I have access to, and that's just so simple and easy being over there, and so many analytics to be able to see and ways to interact with customers and just all types of different stuff that I just did not have on GoDaddy. And it makes me feel like I can be more personal with my client base now. And my newsletter is so simple with them, and everything is just on the one place. And I'm obsessed with that. I was going to talk to you about that card. For me, the part that was sticking out was like financial responsibility and paying attention to like what you're spending money on, and your gift being like, you're able to attract that in, but then the shadow being like, you're not going to hold on to it for a very long period of time because you have to have like responsibility to balance the flow of energy. And that is a theme in my house right now, because my daughter is in this era where it's, can I have this? Can you get me this? Can we do this? And we very much are like, we provide so much that if you want all of these additional things, like, we have a job for you. You can work on the food truck. You can do chores and earn allowance and do things around without being asked. Like, you can show responsibility and earn these additional things, because that's what life is going to be. And it's just really interesting having those conversations with somebody, because my husband and I never got those conversations. And his parents are not responsible with money at all. My parents are, but never taught us any of that. And it's something that I think that should actually be focused on more in schools, so that that's like the important thing that people should know about, like, budgeting their money. And, you know, you want this thing, but you have bills to pay, or, but you had a different goal in mind that you were working towards. So finish that, so that then you can do the other thing instead of hopping around. And I wish that I had been taught that growing up. So it's really weird to try and teach somebody something that you're working on learning yourself.
Yeah, honestly, they really want people to be ignorant when it comes to money and finances for a reason. Because if everyone's in debt and broke, they'll keep going to a job they hate and doing the things they don't want to do. Then, you know, if society was operating at a higher vibration, that wouldn't be the case. I think a lot of people just get sucked into doing shit they don't want to do because they're in debt. So I don't know. I think people give their kids too much and work themselves too much to like try to give kids they something they never had. But I think, like you said, teaching them things you weren't taught is the most important thing for all the parents. As like a single person, no children, that's what I feel like looking at what's happening in society now, where they what do they call it, the Sephora girlies, and it's like 11, 12-year-olds spending like $200 on skincare when their skin is literally fucking fine, and there's no like they're advertising wrinkle cream to 12-year-olds. Like, it's not going to help you right now at all.
So my daughter's 11, and this is literally what she's wanting, what she's asking to spend money on. She wants like
Skincare.
under eye cream and stuff like that. And I'm like, if you want these things that are completely unnecessary for you can work and make the money in order to get those things.
How do I know
Like,
everything?
you have cleanser, you have moisturizer, you have everything that you need. You don't need to have anti-aging, whatever.
How
So
do
if
you
you want
know?
to do that,
Look, I know everything. I know this. She's a Sephora girly, huh? She's out here Sephora girly. Yeah, so I heard about that. That term really stuck out to me. But then I saw this meme and it said, y'all are making jokes on the Sephora girlies, but when I was 11, I picked up cigarettes from the ground and smoked them. And
facts.
it took me out. And I thought to myself, you know, skincare is a good hobby to have, because when I was 11, the internet had just really came out and I was on AOL chat rooms talking about ASL, baby. What's up?
Oh yeah.
A lot of these youngins won't know what ASL is.
Good times.
ASL. Age,
A.
sex, location, baby. And I'd be telling people I was 19 and shit. Like.
Did you know that I used to, so on driver's license, and it says like male, female. Well, it'll say sex and then it'll say M or F. And when I was a kid, I used to think that it was saying that it was rating your sex, and I thought that it was moderate or fair. And so I thought that that's what driver's licenses, what that part was I thought that it was rating how good they were.
Moderate or fair? So you were fair.
I guess I never thought about it. I never had it was like when I was like way younger, I was too young to have any business thinking about that. But yeah, that's what I thought.
It's crazy, like when you're a kid and someone tells you something and it just sticks with you. And that is truly why you need to be like mindful of what you say around children, because, you know, I can only imagine what they're exposed to at school these days, because it's really the lack of the parenting on other people's perspective rather than like, you know, anything in your control. You can do all the right things and then go to school and, you know, your kid gets to know a lot of things I didn't know go on in schools. But one of my friends worked at a school, not as a teacher, but in the office. And she was just like telling me like the amount of things that like have happened have like scarred her for life, like completely made her like change careers and go to beauty school and like completely just get out of the whole thing. Because she was like, girl, like they be in there like doing things and like on all fours, like 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds in the bathroom just getting railed. I'm like, wow, that's just, and you know, like to be doing something like that at school, to be bold enough to do that at school, you've saw your parents do that. And I'm just gonna say, like, if you fuck in front of your kids, you need to seek help, because that's
That's
fucking weird.
disgusting.
That's so weird. And you know, I've seen things that's like,
What kind of PSA is that? That's so obvious. We're the wrong podcast for you if you are exhibitionists in front of your children. Please go. You're a predator.
in my bag, sweetie boy. So, can anybody relate, like when you leave your house for an extended stay and you come home and your animals are just on one, like on one. One of them has made me bleed. The other one was almost all fours in my purse just now. Like, fucking chill. Like, no chill. And it doesn't matter, like, how much attention you try to give them, they still, like, they want a little more.
Cute.
Mad, feeling some type of way. But all right, biatch. I guess go be a mom. Talk to your kid about the D.A.R.E. program. They've removed
All
marijuana
right.
from the gateway drugs, you all. So, FYI,
Over
Jimmy
and out.
420. All right, We might see y'all next week. You never know.
Maybe. Could happen.
Bye.
Bye.